Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Thursday. A lot going on today. Loaded show. In Los Angeles, it's called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. An hour from now, Joel Klatt live in studio. We will have our own mock draft. We've done this, we did this about a month ago with Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL scout. I dominated. So Joel Klatt comes in, sits on the couch, and we go through half the first round. We'll do a mock draft, which I'm very prone to do at home all the time. Very excited about this. The Clatster's rolling in, has the courage to be beaten badly on television. So I do respect that. Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Feels like spring is almost here.
I know. Really does.
It's April's just around the corner.
I went for a walk yesterday. It was beautiful outside. Unbelievable.
It's very nice.
Very nice. So Charles Barkley, who I'm a big fan of. Listen, James Harden is doing a great job in Brooklyn. But we see this all the time. We've talked about this with Lamar Jackson. Right now, he's a great regular season quarterback. Is he a great postseason quarterback? We've seen this. A-Rod was a great player, but he was never quite as good in the postseason. That's James Harden. He's a dominant regular season player. He's not as dominant in the postseason. And my belief has always been because he doesn't get the whistle in the playoffs. Referees get out of the way. And the further the playoffs go, the conference finals, the finals, I mean, it's wrestling. Refs do not want to decide it. They want the stars to decide it. The refs don't have a favorite. Their favorite's swallowing the whistle. And you just don't get the whistle. And Harden's game is built for the whistle. So was Karl Malone's. But let's listen to Charles Barkley, who made quite a statement on James Harden a couple of days ago.
He is the most awesome offensive player I've ever seen. Listen, Michael and Kobe were better players from the guard standpoint. But as far as offensively, they couldn't shoot threes like him. They were not as great as dribbling the basketball, going to the basket, getting fouled. I mean, this guy, every time he goes to the basket, he's going to hit somebody and get two free throws.
Except in the playoffs. If you look at James Harden's regular season numbers and his postseason numbers, his field goal percentage goes down, his free throw attempts go down, his three-point percentage goes down, his points go down. They don't plummet, but they're not the same. Whereas Michael Jordan and Kobe were often at their greatest in the playoffs. We keep falling for three or four things in sports. One of the things we always fall for is the quarterbacks in the draft from big-name schools. They don't dominate the league. Go look at the last year's eight division winners. Not a single one was from a football power. Look at Tua. Because from big-name schools, being a quarterback is all about comfort. Receivers are wide open. You never get hit. NFL quarterback is all about discomfort. Can you just get hit constantly? We keep falling for that. The star quarterback from the big university, the Alabama quarterback, you know, look around the league. That's not who dominates the league. It's guys from Boston College and NC State and Miami of Ohio and Cal. That's one of the things we fall for. The second thing we always fall for is the flashy point guard in the NBA that can't shoot. Derrick Rose, John Wall, Russell Westbrook. If you can't shoot and you're under 6'5 in this league, you will never dominate it. You will never be a huge factor in the playoffs. You got to be able to shoot. Now, if you're LeBron and can drive, or you're 6'9, you're a dominant wing or a big, that becomes less important. But if you're 6'4 or under and can't shoot, you become actually a playoff liability. The third thing in sports we always fall for is the 12-year, $400 million baseball contract. None have ever looked good halfway through it. The Mookie Betts deal is the first one that has a chance to not be awful because he's great, he's healthy, he signed it young enough so by the end of it he'll be out of his prime, but he won't be an old man. And that has a chance to be a good one. And even the last 3 years of that, and Mookie's the best player in the game or second best, you're way overpaying for him. James Harden's regular season dominance is falling into this category. If I have to hear another person tell me how great he is in the regular season, he's Karl Malone. And I covered Karl Malone. Karl Malone is scored the second most points in league history. That's insane, right? In the history of the planet. Karl Malone scored the second most points. More than Michael, more than LeBron, more than Kobe, more than Hakeem, more than Shaq, more than everybody except Kareem. No rings, two final trips. Well, Karl Malone depended on the whistle. Look at the top five scorers of all time. Kareem's got six titles. LeBron's got four. Kobe's got five and MJ six. Karl, zero. Why? Don't tell me he didn't have help. John Stockton's a top five point guard ever. Jerry Sloan was a top two or three coach in the league. Mark Eaton led the NBA during that time with Karl Malone, blocking shots four times, five times first or second team all defense. So he had first or second best rim protector, first or second best point guard, top three coach, and Karl, and they always had, and by the way, one of the great home court advantages, they got no rings, got two trips. Wasn't like the West had dominant teams every year because Karl Malone depended on the whistle. I covered some of those series, Utah, Portland. It's not that he didn't ever get the whistle, but you don't get it in those big deciding games. James Harden, similarly, has 23 times in his career scored over 50 points. Never in the playoffs. Because to score 50 points, you got to get to the free throw line a lot, and you do not in the playoffs. That is the difference. Kobe didn't depend on the whistle. Larry Bird didn't depend on the whistle. Michael Jordan didn't depend on the whistle. Magic didn't depend on the whistle. They would get the whistle, but they didn't need it to definitively cement their game, and Harden does. It's not to say this team can't get to the finals, but that ball-centric style, how many years are we going to see it? It rolls in the regular season. It dries up in the postseason. As many of you know, it's unfortunate. It's very hurtful, but Cleveland doesn't like me. I have been more right on the Cleveland Browns than any team in the last 3 years, Joy, as my witness. I told you John Dorsey would not work as a GM. Right. I told you Freddie Kitchens' disaster. Right. I told you Kevin Stefanski finally was a grown-up. It would work. And I told you Baker Mayfield's talented, but he's not number one pick talented. And the Browns, the numbers tell you, are better when he throws less. This is interesting. Jadeveon Clowney is close to signing with Cleveland. Now, Jadeveon Clowney's one of those guys that he's never quite lived up to the hype, but now he's undervalued. Okay, he can play. He's a good player. Now, he's not worth big money. He's not as good as his hype. But the idea that Jadeveon Clowney isn't good is ridiculous. Last time he was playing for Seattle, there was a playoff game. He made plays all over the field. Jadeveon Clowney's a good football player. He got so hyped out of college that we expect him to like be Mike Tyson and knock everybody out. And that's just not what he is. He's inconsistent. But he's a really good football player. And my takeaway, if Clowney signs with Cleveland, they are now the third most talented team in the NFL. Tampa 1, best roster, Kansas City 2, and Cleveland 3. Well, Tampa just won a Super Bowl, and Kansas City won it 2 years ago. No more excuses for Baker Mayfield. Competent head coach, competent GM, best offensive line, great weapons, and they have done a great job to solve the back end of their defense this offseason. They really have. John Johnson, tremendous safety. So this morning, if Clowney signs with Cleveland, there are four overwhelming favorites in the AFC. Kansas City, Buffalo, Indy, and Cleveland. Baltimore's close, but not in that group. It is go time. It is go time for Baker Mayfield. This is a stacked roster if they get Clowney. You'd have Clowney. You got Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, just as pass rushers. Folks, this is a big deal. Don't buy into this Clowney's overrated. Clowney can play. Not worth big money, and Cleveland's not going to give him big money, but Clowney can play. Clowney's a playmaker. And when you have a team as good as Cleveland that got to the playoffs last year, you're looking for playmakers. You're not going to get Trent Williams left tackle on the market. You're not going to get that. But guys that can make plays in big spots, absolutely. I'd take Jadeveon Clowney tomorrow for that. I just don't want to build my franchise around him. So, and Colin, I see stories this morning. Would Cleveland be the favorites in the AFC North? Of course they would. I called it a week ago. Of course they would. Cleveland is and should be favored to win the AFC North if they land Clowney. I'm not saying, listen, I said this last week before they had Clowney, but this is a real pickup. He's a real football player. Don't listen to anybody. Dude can play and make plays. All right. I just heard a terrible trade idea in the NBA, and I don't get it at all. A terrible Laker trade idea.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app. Or wherever you get your podcast.
Got 30 free minutes. Won't have to ever break. Worry about somebody breaking into your home. Go to simplysafecolin.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. Simplysafecolin.com. 45 minutes. Joel Klatt has the courage to come in here and go against me. Imagine that in a mock draft. Very excited for it. You are taking your career in your own hands when you're talking to the master of the mock draft. Okay, so this one doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Today's the NBA trade deadline, right? And there's some trades. The Bulls made a big trade to get from with Orlando today. This one I don't get. Sometimes you have to accept your fate. Okay, this is a condensed season. Bunch of games back to back to back. The Lakers are old. Their two stars are old. They won the championship, so they played the most possible games last year. And it's the shortest offseason. You've got to come to terms with, this was not going to be great. There were some predictable health issues for the Lakers. So there's a story out there this morning. The Lakers are considering bringing Kyle Lowry of the Raptors over and basically getting rid of Dennis Schroeder, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, Taylor Horton Tucker, draft picks. A timeout. First of all, when the Lakers were healthy, they were clearly the best team in the league. Why panic? Secondly, Kyle Lowry's 35. The Raptors are 18-3 the last 2 years when he doesn't play. He's not dominating Eastern Conference points guards. Listen, you got to just understand your fate. AD's back in 2 weeks. You've got 8 games during that period. If you go 1-7, and the Lakers aren't good without AD and LeBron, let's say you go 1-7, you're still 29-23. You're probably 6th or probably 7th in the West. LeBron comes back 2 weeks after that. You're good. But you have to accept your fate. You have your two stars. One is brittle AD, and one is older LeBron. Okay, that you have to accept it. It's a condensed schedule. More games in a shorter time. Shortest offseason. You played the most possible games. You could see some of this coming. This was going to be a struggle. That's why they went out and got a Schroeder. That's why they went out and got a Montrezl Harrell. They wanted younger players and more depth because they got kind of a scheduling break last year, believe it or not, with the pandemic where AD and LeBron could rest for 4.5 months. This feels like a panic move to me. I don't get it. It's nothing against Kyle Lowry, but if he's your answer, I'm not sure I want to know the question. The Western Conference is stacked. You're going to go 1-7 over your next 8 games. You're not out of the playoffs. You're going to be 29-23. That's fine. And you were the best team in the league, clearly, when LeBron and AD were healthy. And AD's back in 2 weeks. I mean, and unless the Lakers know something we don't know about AD's health or LeBron's health, that it's far worse, then that's different. But this feels like, I'm sorry, but I like KCP. I used to be a huge doubter, but he's a big shot guy in the playoffs. Horton people really like. He's a unique talent. I don't think Kyle Lowry is the answer. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Bears already had Nick Foles on the roster when they signed Andy Dalton to a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Dalton said he was told he's going to be the starter next season.
Yeah.
And the team's social media backed that up with a statement. They tweeted a picture of Andy Dalton in a Bears uniform with the caption QB1.
This kind of feels tone deaf to me.
Yes.
Like, you're trying to, we all know that you wanted Russell Wilson.
Right.
And you actually went after Jameis Winston and Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, the Bears didn't want Wentz, but we know you wanted Deshaun Watson. So just like, if Andy Dalton's your answer, don't do that on social media.
I agree. It felt a little wild. Like you can't pitch that kind of performance and that kind of talent acquisition to your fan base and then come up with Andy Dalton and push it as this is something that is supposed to be celebrated. Like, we all know Andy Dalton is not as good as Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson.
Also, they tried to sell us their devotion to Trubisky and bailed on him the minute they could. So, Bear fans lived through this experience of you, of people questioning Trubisky, and you go, no, we rock solid. The second you could get rid of him, you got rid of him.
Right. And look, it sounds like we're picking on Andy Dalton, but look, this is fine, human. It's not about that. It's about the fact that, you know, he had a 4-5 record last year and a 64.9 completion percentage, 14 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
He's out of his prime, and he wasn't great in his prime.
And I mean, was 2-11 with the Bengals in 2019. So come on. This is like it's not an overreaction to say that's kind of a ridiculous statement. Like I really don't know what the Bears are doing. It felt like a panic move anyway. Like
I would feel
more optimistic if they had even gotten someone like a Marcus Mariota.
Yes,
I don't think that Mariota is Mariota to be excited about, but at least it would have been like interesting.
Mariota is a better. Mariota is what they thought Trubisky was going to be. I've been told this before. Mariota has got about a 500 record. Mariota is a better athlete than Trubisky and a better thrower of the football. If Trubisky was Mariota, and remember, Tennessee bailed on Mariota about a year before we all thought they should have. Mariota subbed for one game last year and was great on television against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Trubisky's a poor man's Mariota. So if you're going to upgrade, just if you're going to move to another quarterback, get somebody built to run around because A, that's the league. B, that's your offense. And three, you don't have a great offensive line, so it's needed.
And it's not like you weren't in the trade market. We know you tried to trade for Russell Wilson, and you were willing to give a haul for him. Now, I don't think you should give that same amount for Marcus Mariota, but if you were willing to make a trade like that, why wouldn't you be willing to trade for Sam Darnold?
You know, the worst part about this story is I have to say critical things of Andy Dalton, who's a very good person.
Well, we're not criticizing him personally.
I know, but it's been like 7 years of just crapping on the guy, and I just feel bad. I feel a little guilt. Maybe I'm getting old and vulnerable. I feel bad.
Are you getting soft in your old age?
I might be. I ate nothing but bread yesterday.
I saw.
I am getting soft. I ate garlic bread, pizza, sandwiches.
Well, you're in a bad area for that because it's like great restaurants.
They're all Italian.
Listen, pasta was my comfort food during the past year, as you guys can tell and have let me know.
God, would you stop saying that? more ravishing than ever. Could you stop with that?
You. I'm fine. I'm healthy. That's all I care about. That's all that matters. The Seahawks are working to fix the relationship with Russell Wilson and give him some help that he wants on the offensive side. They traded for guard Gabe Jackson and re-signed their center, Ethan Pozick. And they added tight end Gerald Everett and kept running back Chris Carson.
Those are good moves, by the way. Those are very solid. All those moves I like. All good moves.
Apparently started to ease the tension. Jeremy Fowler is reporting that Russ and Pete Carroll have had positive communication in the past few days.
Ooh, like
that. Coach is hearing the quarterback's concerns. Still a long way to go, but it seems the sides are in a better place than they were a few weeks ago.
So let me defend Pete Carroll, because people in Southern California, where I am beloved, they think I hate Pete Carroll. I love what Seattle did. Gerald Everett is a dynamic athlete. That's a great get for them. Terrific get. And also, you take him away from the Rams in your conference. Secondly, Gabe Jackson, total upgrade at guard. I love that move. What was the other one they did?
They re-signed their center.
I didn't love that move. So Gabe Jackson. They re-signed Carson, the running
Chris
back,
Carson,
who drives me nuts and he's never healthy, but he runs downhill and he's a good player. Oh, they also re-signed their fullback, which was another move I like. So I gotta be honest. I am critical of Pete Carroll and John Snyder, but they went out of their way and did four things that were all good for Russell Wilson. Now it's on Russell to deliver. And my guess is they may go for another tackle in the draft. They need a corner. I mean, it's a pretty good roster. They need a corner for sure. But after that, My guess is they'll go and get another offensive lineman. So this is no longer with Gabe Jackson, Dwayne Brown, and the right guard, the kid from LSU, Damian Lewis. This is no longer a horrible offensive line. This is a top 12 talent-wise O-line. They're not great at center.
With the talent that Russell Wilson has, if you are in the top half of the league of the offensive line, you should be able
and
to make it
work. And they are now. They are. Gabe Jackson was an absolute upgrade.
But, you know, isn't it nice you just listen to people?
Yeah.
You know, just lend a ear. You guys work together. Yeah. You figure it out. So the NBA trade deadline is today. We will be paying attention to all the tweets and news, but it's over at 3 p.m. Eastern, and moves are starting to be made. The Magic are trading their all-star center, Nikola Vucevic,
good
to
player.
The Bulls.
Yeah.
They'll also send Al-Farouq Aminu to Chicago, and the Magic will get Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, and the first-round picks in 2021 and 2023 in return. So Zach LaVine and Vucevic are two of the four players averaging 24-plus points, 40-plus from three-point percentage, and 6-plus three-point attempts per game, and they're both on the Bulls now. So they're the Magic are in 14th place, so they're clearly cleaning house and resetting, yeah, as they should. And they're also sending Evan Fournier to the Celtics, and there's rumors that they might be sending Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets. And the Bulls are reportedly still interested in Lonzo Ball. I like this for the Bulls. They're in 10th place in the East right now.
Well, what they're basically telling you, what is this trade telling you? They're building around Zach LaVine.
Like,
we're going to get another All-Star.
Well, they should.
In the East, Zach LaVine and Vucevic are two All-Star level players. And if you look around the league, if you have two All-Star level players, you're a playoff team.
Exactly.
So the Bulls kind of doubled down on Zach.
And they're still looking to get Lonzo Ball, which would be tremendous for them.
Lonzo Ball... Sometimes, like Jadeveon Clowney, we label players and then we don't watch them. Like Clowney
100%.
Now, Clowney's like, no good. No, Jadeveon Clowney's good. He's just not Miles Garrett. He's not Aaron Donald. But he's a good player. You'd love him on your team. He is expensive. Like Lonzo Ball, we've all bailed that can't shoot. No, actually, Lonzo Ball's three-point shooting.
He's been one of the best three-point shooters in the league.
The last
all
two
season.
Times, I watched him about 2 weeks ago. I watched back-to-back games. I was like, oh, hell. Lonzo shooting with a ton of confidence right now.
Well, similarly, they both have like these big names.
Right.
So we kind of put them media-wise and fan-wise in other categories, and then they didn't immediately live up to that or live up to the consistency that we expected from them. Then it's like, oh, they're no good. And they're never going to change their game.
Lonzo,
and that's not true.
I think the Clippers and the Bulls could really use Lonzo
Ball. He's an extremely valuable player.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Big kid, rebounds well, coachable. I mean, he obviously works on his game and his body. If you look at Lonzo's body 3-4 years ago and now, he's worked on it. Look at his jumper 4 years ago. Look now, he's worked on it. Half of this stuff is, are you willing to work on your game?
Well, it takes a couple years sometimes, too.
Yeah, the guys now come into the NBA at 19. They're kids. They can't drink at the hotel they stay at. I mean, literally, you stay at a Ritz-Carlton, you can't go down to the lobby and have a beer.
Yep.
There you go. A joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So it is NBA trade deadline. Top of the hour, Joel Klatt has the courage to sit down next to me. We're going to do half of the first round. It's really fun for me because I'm a mock draft dork. And I get first pick, by the way. It's my show. It's the rules. Anytime we do these drafts, I get the first pick. And also, I don't like the second pick because the second pick is the Jets, and I don't like picking against Sam Darnold. So I don't want to know his family. I don't want to say I'm getting rid of Sam Darnold. So I get the first pick. All right, let's bring in Chris Haynes, Fox Sports NBA analyst, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or no. Okay, I read this Kyle Lowry move, and I think, timeout. The Lakers are panicking. So before the injuries, Lakers felt like the best team in the league, and then we all knew, Chris, that it was a condensed schedule. The Lakers had a short off season. LeBron's getting older. AD can be brittle. Like, we knew this was not going to be an easy first half for the Lakers. It's a tight schedule, older players. And I read a story this morning, and they're willing to give up the farm on Kyle Lowry. And I'm like, Kyle's 35 years old. The Raptors are 18-3 the last 2 years. Like, are they panicking?
Yeah, I think it is a sign of a little bit of desperation when you look at the Lakers and what they're going through right now. Obviously, with LeBron James and AD being out with the injuries, but to put KCP out there on the market and to float Montrezl Harrell's name out there right now, you know, I think it reeks of a little bit of a panic.
Yeah.
You look back at that offseason they just had, and I was a victim too. You know, I said I felt like the Lakers had arguably one of the best offseasons that summer. Well, it wasn't the summer, but last offseason. And I think the Lakers might have played themselves a little bit too much. I have to credit Rob Pelinka being aggressive and making sure that they didn't stay idle. But I think they got a little bit too cute. And looking back at it, they probably should have ran back the roster with what they had last year. Because now they're trying to, if they make a move for Kyle Lowry, which I'm not sure that they really have an end on, if they make that move for him, then you got to try to get him into the fold, then work AD LeBron back into the fold once they get back. And is there enough time to build some type of continuity going into the playoffs? And so I just think they're in a tough situation right now. I'm not sure that Kyle Lowry or even trading somebody like KCP would do them justice right now.
Yeah, I like KCP. By the way, I was always kind of a doubter, and I thought he hit big shots in the bubble last year. He sold me. So Lonzo Ball is interesting, and we do this in sports, that we watch a guy, especially if he's high profile, and he may disappoint us, and we bail on him. But Lonzo Ball is a much improved player, and to me, there's a real market for him. The Clippers don't even have a point guard. Like, where do you think Lonzo ends up?
Right now, the leaders are the Chicago Bulls, and you see what they're doing. They're making moves. Got Vucevic from Orlando. So they're really out there trying to compete, but it seems like the Bulls are the front-runner team. The Clippers would love to have Lonzo Ball. They just do not have the assets right now to make that happen. So that's what I see happening. But David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, you know, he's a GM that's known for playing hardball.
Yep.
He's known for taking it to the wire to try to see, you know, if it, you know, he's trying to get as much as he can at the last possible minute and second. So I think that could go down to the wire. But if I say right now, I think he probably ends up as a member of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Kyrie informed the team earlier this week, hey, I'm out. I'm not going on the road trip. He's done this multiple times now. And again, it's a family thing. But it is interesting now that it KD's health is a little bit now of a pattern, and Kyrie missing games is a little bit of a pattern. I do wonder. You can say things to the press that you're good with it, but I wonder if there is concern in Brooklyn right now about Kyrie. This is the second time he's just said, I got stuff to do at home.
Yeah, it is. It seems to be problematic. It definitely does. And without knowing why Kyrie is out, we know it's a family matter, but without knowing why, I don't want to speculate, but obviously this isn't the first time. And I know people will point to the fact that, you know, the team said labeled it a personal family matter, but then it also was his birthday during the time that he was out. And so, I think Brooklyn is, I think they're just in a situation where they're trying to appease all of their stars.
Right.
And try to make them feel as comfortable as possible. I don't know if that's sets a good precedent, but at the end of the day, if they come away and win that Larry O'Brien trophy later in the summer, I guess it was all worth it. But, you know, until then, we have to calculate after the end of the season to see what some of the appeasing to every little whim we'll be able to judge if it was worth it by then.
By the way, I want to circle back on the Lakers. The only way the Lowry deal makes sense to me is the Lakers know something about AD's health, or maybe LeBron's, and they think they're in trouble. Like, then I would get it. Like, hey, we got to get Lowry here because we may not have one of our stars for a while. You know, it's funny. The Lakers signed AD to a long contract. AD smartly understood, listen, man, I get hurt. I'm taking the money. I'm taking the extension. And I do look at the Lakers now, and I wonder – I mean, is there something they know about AD? Have they come to the conclusion that, listen, he's a 55-game player in a regular season, and that's what he is. That's his history.
Well, he's done a pretty good job of staying healthy since he's been a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. I just think this year, with the condensed offseason, that they wanted to make sure they were careful and that if their body needed time to rest, they were going to give them that time, an ample amount of time. And now with this injury – with LeBron James as well, you know they're not going to rush those guys back because first and foremost, the priority is being healthy as possible for the playoffs. So with that being said, yeah, they know that they need to acquire talent to be able to give LeBron as he ages, give AD the time that they need, or even time that they don't need, just to stay fresh. And so I think that's what we're going to see. I think they got a good end on Andre Drummond. So we'll see what happens we're 2.5 hours away from the deadline. See what happens with him. But no, they have to make moves. If you're building this team around LeBron and AD, you got to make moves on the edges to make sure you got prominent guys that can come in, fill time, buy time, and still keep the team afloat so those guys can be healthy for the playoff run.
All right, follow Chris Haynes on Twitter as well. We got a couple hours for the trading deadline. Orlando sent their all-star to the Bulls, so Chicago doubling down on Zach LaVine. They're also there we go. Chris right there has got – this is what's happening. He's breaking stories as we speak. Don't you love that? It was literally brave. Remember, we had Jay Glazer on one time, and he got a call right as he was on the air.
This is a very busy time for the insiders.
Chris Haynes. Coming up, we finally got a story, confirmation on a prediction we made about Sean McVay and Jared Goff and why they moved to Matt Stafford. The story came out yesterday. We guessed right. We predicted right. Very interesting. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Improve your diet, improve your protein. ButcherBox.com/herd. 2 free pounds of ground beef in every box. Life of your membership. ButcherBox.com/HERD. So it was February 1st that I went on the air. The Rams made the big Matt Stafford deal, and they got rid of Jared Goff. And it was surprising. But what had happened during the season, remember, Sean McVay gets hired. He's this brilliant young coach. He comes in and saves Jared Goff's career. And they won like 70% of their games together. They got to a Super Bowl. And they were, you know, he was kind of the next young star. He out-dueled Patrick Mahomes in a game. And then all of a sudden last year, publicly, McVay went after him. And so when they made the deal with Detroit for Matt Stafford, that day I went on the air, February 1st, and I said, let's go find the day it blew up. Because this had been a really good relationship. And I had theorized, I said, when they lost to San Francisco, I said, Kyle Shanahan does not consider Cliff Kingsbury a threat to his reputation or Pete Carroll because of his age. But Kyle Shanahan surpassing him in his own division as the best young coach, that's going to hit his ego. And Shanahan is 4-0 against McVay in the last 2 years. And when Shanahan beat McVay with Nick Mullins, I said, that was the moment. It has now officially been confirmed. That was the moment. ESPN story. After that loss, McVay called out Goff in front of his teammates and laid into him after the game. And then laid into him. He had multiple turnovers in that game. There's one of them right there. So we said, let's find the moment the relationship died. Listen, anybody that's been through a relationship, there's a night, there's an epiphany, there's a moment when the relationship ends. She's, you know, the woman comes home. He doesn't get it. He just doesn't get me. Or he says the same thing. She's crazy. I can't take it. There's a moment. This was the one we guessed, and it's now official. This was it. After the game, apparently McVay called him out, and Goff just was done with it. Like, he just didn't want to be called out. That's not his personality. That's not what works. And what's also interesting, and there's some ego at play here, is that McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur, the Packer coach, they were all on the same staff on the Washington football team. Well, LaFleur now is winning 13 games a year, and Shanahan is beating McVay and more recently got to the Super Bowl. So McVay's sitting there thinking, time out. My career now is being questioned. I'm the third most successful of those young three, and I'm not having Goff get in the way of it. And what's interesting about this, here's why I think it's actually a really good move, is that, and I've said this, who you do trades with matters. For years and years, Belichick made moves when the Bills in Cleveland and Detroit stunk. Because he knows if he sends players to lousy franchises, they probably won't flourish. And he's getting players at the time Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit were awful. One still is. He's getting players who in his culture will elevate. So Belichick made a lot of moves. Wes Welker from Miami, Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit, Miami at the time. Bad teams, bad cultures, where Bill knows if I send a player there, it won't come back to haunt me. The reason the Rams moved to Stafford is so smart is that they, you know, I'm sure they tried to go after other teams, but Stafford is going from an absolutely poorly run franchise to a well-run franchise with a good O-line and great gifts and a capable GM and an excellent coach. So there's no dispute. Stafford's going to get a lot of MVP votes this year. I'm not into that stuff, but he will. So he's getting an elevation of culture. So Matt Stafford's going to be good. But the Rams also privately know that Goff now is going to have much less of a culture, much less of an O-line, much less of a coach. So 1 year from now, that trade's going to look even more brilliant as Stafford comes and flourishes like the Patriots did in a really good culture. Stafford's going to have time to throw, lot of weapons, going to be very happy. Stafford in a year, we're going to be like, wow. And Goff, and I feel bad for him, is going to the worst NFL culture by far. So Goff's going to trend down. And so a year from now, this move is going to look genius. So who you trade with matters, but we did find the actual moment that the relationship went into the tank. It said here it was cussing out Goff. Goff felt crushed. Goff didn't know who to go to. Good story. By the way, I saw this. Joy was talking about this. So the Chicago Bears are... We always blame the quarterback, and we blame the players, and we blame the coach. We never blame the GM. The Bears don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Totally tone deaf. They went out and put Andy Dalton, quarterback one, on their Twitter account. Now, this is ridiculous for a lot of reasons. We know they pursued Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. We know they pursued other quarterbacks. We know Andy Dalton was not their first choice. Everybody knows that. Chicago knows that. Fans know that. So to trump this on social media is, again, tone deaf. And this is an organization that kept telling us how much they love Mitch Trubisky and then bailed on him the minute they could. Is that sometimes players need to escape places. Matt Stafford escaped the Lions. I mean, he went to them and said, it's just over. Like, I'm done. And the Lions, to their credit, were willing to send him to an NFC power, the Rams. Carson Wentz, to me, the stories came out. He escaped Philadelphia. It was just toxic. Owner, GM, coach, it was toxic. Matt Nagy needs to escape Chicago because I think he can coach. I really do. And do an Andy Dufresne and Shawshank Redemption and get in a tunnel and just leave the grounds. In fact, you've heard of Escape from Alcatraz. Matt Nagy escaped from Chicago. That's the actual movie poster. He is right now, he's trapped. Like, I feel bad for him. I think you have a really good coach. And this has happened before, by the way, in the NFL, where you have a good coach and he's got a bad owner. They got a bad general manager. I don't think Chicago knows what they're doing. And what they're really bad at, they're really bad at the optics. So this is a team that spent a lot of money on Mike Glennon, invited him to a draft party, and at the party drafted, moved up for Mitch Trubisky. At the draft party. Okay. I mean, this is an organization that made it, did not refute any of the Russell Wilson trade rumors. When you're trading for Russell Wilson and you're Chicago and the rumors come out, you just deny, deny, deny. You just get out of that because the chances of landing him were about 5%. And so you have to be able to, they call it seeing around corners. You have to be able to see trouble before it happens, right? There's an instinct to it. The great GMs and coaches, smart people have it. Can you see around corners? You knew the chances of getting Russell Wilson were slim and none. And I applaud them for going for it. But once you didn't get him, whoever you got would be a huge settle, whether it was Jameis or Andy Dalton. So what you do in the Russell Wilson stuff is you downplay it constantly. These are rumors. Some of this stuff is just nonsense. You don't light it up because you're not going to get him. A part of the reality of running a company is everybody can see the obvious crap. Can you see around corners? Can you see, like, if we do this, that's going to happen. Once you just kind of went all in and embraced the Russell Wilson stuff, you were just begging for your fan base to be let down with the end result. Andy Dalton, quarterback one. What are we doing as a franchise? What are you doing? All right, Joel Klatt. We are going to have our mock draft. I'm very excited for this. Mock draft with Joel Klatt. Listen, he's not going to win. Hopefully he's a good sport. That's coming up.